Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And we're coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. It's Friday, and that means our school ended yesterday. So you won't be able to watch it live, but you can still get it archived. And all you have to do is call 1-800-972-3447 and make the arrangements. There is a fee to do it. We will have taught every day from 9 until 4 in the afternoon with a lunch break. And we're talking about living in the end of days. King James translates it usually latter days or last days. But the Hebrew says the end of days. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai with God, the Lord showed him, and this is in the oral tradition of Moses that he gave himself and then told to Joshua, that there are 6 days of history that will be, which correspond to the 6 days of creation, 1,000 years being a day. And of course, we hear of this 1,000 years being a day in Peter, 2 Peter, and also in Psalm 90. And that the time, there will be 6 days, and of course, we know now that Adam's lease will run out at the end of 6 days. Then there will be a millennial day, and then we will go into, praise the Lord, eternity future. So God invented time. He's not limited by time. He lives and inhabits eternity. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. He doesn't just know the future, he lives there. He lives in eternity. He has not limited himself by time or space. He was God before there was time, and he will be God after there is time. But he does deal with man and the redemption and restoration of all mankind, their ends, wherever that might be, and the restoration of the earth. And so we see that here in Israel became a nation when it came out of Egypt. It passed through the waters and the cloud, and that was considered its baptism, according to 1 Corinthians 10. It became a nation, and at the very start of that nation, God handed them the first commandment ever they were given. They call it the first mitzvah, or the first commandment. They were going out. They had not yet gotten to Mount Sinai. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, when God initiates the Passover. And so he gave them this commandment before he gave them the 10 commandments they're going to get later on. And this commandment is, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be to you the first month of the year to you. Now, this is in Pinchas Winston says in his book, The End of Days, the Jewish people have been keeping track of time ever since God first told Moshe, while still in Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of the month. It shall be for you the first of the months of the year. This wasn't just a mitzvah or commandment to sanctify the new moon each month. It was God handing over to man, specifically the Jewish people, the responsibility of keeping track of the years from that point onward. And folks, this is because God wants you to know. He doesn't want you with your head in the sand like an ostrich. He wants you to know what time you live in. Jesus talked to some folks and admonished them because they didn't know the time of their visitation. They didn't know the time of his coming. But we need to know the time of his coming again. And so, here in the 12th chapter of Exodus, he tells them to keep track of the months. Easier said than done. Because his calendar, the Jewish calendar, as it's called now, is based on the moon, regulated by the sun. The time span between one new moon and the next is 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, 3 1/3 seconds. A 12-month year contains 354 days. Oh, that was a challenge. These weren't the days of computers. This was Moses. This was 1,500, let me see now exactly how long ago that was, 3,000. This was 5,000 years ago. This was 4,500 years ago, 4,500 years ago. And he's telling them to keep track of the months. And the moon is going to make a new moon every 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, 3 1/3 seconds. And the way they had of telling when the new moon was out, they had to have witnesses. And these witnesses couldn't be just ordinary Joes. They had to be specially trained, and they had to watch for that new moon to show up in the sky and a new month to begin. But we have a little problem here. Because God said to them in Deuteronomy 16:1, observe the month of Aviv. Aviv is springtime. And keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. For in the month of Aviv, springtime, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. So every Passover has got to be in the spring. Well, if you keep a lunar calendar, like the Arabs and the Islamic people do, then that calendar, Ramadan, for instance, it's Ramadan right now. Ramadan changes every year. Every year it moves to a different month, it moves to a different time, and it'll go all through the cycle. It'll be in the springtime, it'll be in the summer, it'll be in the fall, it'll be in the winter. But God said, no, you can't do that. You've got to have the Passover in the spring. And every one of the special dates on God's calendar had a harvest. Well, the harvests are regulated by the sun. So you've got to have this calendar that God told them to keep. They have to keep a calendar where the months are based on the moon, but it's regulated by the sun. And so they developed these, under God's hand, of course, this method of, I've forgotten whether it's six times or seven times in 19 years, they add another whole month. They add a leap month. We add to our calendar one day every 4 years. Every 4 years, February has another day. Every six times in 19 years, or seven, I'll look it up before I teach the school the first day, they're going to add a whole month, a second Adar, to keep them right on line with keeping time. Now, we do find this calendar of time that God gave them. In Leviticus, he went into great detail about his moeds, his appointed times, his sacred holy days that he circled on his own calendar. And of course, the first in the spring, the first of the moeds, is going to be Passover. I want you to notice that this calendar of God's is marked by sevens. Time is marked by sevens. This earth, as it was redeveloped, restored by God since Adam, he worked 6 days and then he rested the seventh day. And so then man's work week is going to be 6 days and rested the seventh. And now if you were at the school, we would be going into detail on how the Western world's calendar doesn't jibe with the calendar of Israel and the Jews, and that it's really much later than the Western world thinks it is. We're at least 163 years off with them. And so I'm not going to go into the great detail that we'll be able to in the school, but we're getting very close according to their calendar. This calendar is marked by seven. Look even at the first, and this is the religious calendar, the spiritual calendar, the sacred calendar. This is the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. 2 times 7 is 14. And they're going to have the Passover, but they're going to have a feast. And that feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 8, you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation, marked by sevens. And then after Passover, They're going to bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the priest. He's going to wave it before the Lord at the temple, be accepted. And we know that Christ Jesus, our Lord, is the first fruits of resurrection, Colossians 1:18 and Revelation 1:15, 1:5. He's our first fruits, 1 Corinthians 15:20, he's the first fruit of resurrection. Now, after that day, he says, start counting. Verse 15, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths. Seven, see? Seven. You're going to count seven Sabbaths. Seven, the Sabbath is the seventh day, and you're going to count seven of them. So that's 7 weeks. And you shall then number 50 days. You're going to add one more day. And then it's going to be the next date that we're going to circle on the calendar. And this date is, the Jews call it the Feast of Weeks because it's 7 weeks plus one, Shavuot. We call it Pentecost. And it marks what happened in history when they received the Word of God at Sinai. And then in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit came on the very same day. Then you've got a break. You're going to go from that time, which is about in June. You're going to go on over to their seventh month. Seventh month. Now, actually, their civil year begins in the autumn, the seventh month, which is the first month of the civil year. And their sacred year is the seventh month of the civil year, but it's the first month of the sacred year. Sevens. He took the seventh month and made it first. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, now this is in the fall, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. This is Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. And remember that God said those luminaries in the sky, they have to do with your finding out the years and marking the years. This was a kind of a difficult day for them to come to, the Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. And they had to do it under very technical, strict, things before they had the modern day ability of making a calendar. And this was the month that, this was the day, Rosh Hashanah, that no man knows. And it had to be decided by a court even. And so that's a very interesting thought too. But over in the seventh month, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, it's going to begin with the Feast of Trumpets. This has not been fulfilled, folks. And it's a good candidate for, I believe, the rapture of the church. I'm not going to say that that's the day, but it's a good candidate. Many people think that. Roy Hicks said, go ahead and pick a day. There may be a prize. Now, I don't preach it, of course. That would be foolish. But, you know, you just watch things and look for things, and the Lord said to do that. On the 10th day of the month is a day of atonement. That was the... And then on the 15th day of the month, that's when they have the great, glorious rejoicing, the Feast of Tabernacles. That will be fulfilled, and we'll talk about it more and how it lines up with the Shemitah year of Leviticus chapter 25. Because Jesus will come and set up his kingdom in the only true jubilee there will be. God wants you to know about time and what time you live in. If you'd like to get our school on the archives, just call 1-800-972-3447. You can do it for a study group or do it just for yourself. This is Billy Brim saying shalom. In fact, Shabbat shalom. Until Monday.